This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
You can shake your head all you want to, Commissioner. You have said today that there's no evidence of criminal wrongdoing. And I'm asking you what criminal statutes you have reviewed to reach that conclusion.
I've reviewed no criminal statute.
Fighting for Idaho.
They got a phone call from Senator Risch and a phone call from Senator Crapo saying, you know, we'd like you to support our governor and the establishment and just take Senator Risch's son's letter to be the fact.
Fighting for you.
Just recently read a few articles on the effectiveness of performing the Heimlich maneuver on drowning victims before starting CPR. I was in the right place at the right time. There's over 250 Boise firefighters that would have done the same thing.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. We're joined by Rabbi Spiro to talk a little bit about the Middle East, author of Pushback. Rabbi Spiro, good morning.
And good morning to you.
You ever been to Idaho?
Oh, of course, of course.
Well, tell us
Absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful state. What is it, Hell's Canyon?
Yeah.
Or is it, then I was in Pocatello, was it? And Idaho Falls, I think. I had been in it was in Utah.
Well, you're practically a native then.
Yeah, and I had to come up. I went to visit a certain factory that made lollipops. So sure, yes.
Well, it sounds good to me. So your thoughts on what's going on in Iraq?
Well, listen, I think that a lot of this, the unleashing of these groups like ISIS, toppling the leaders that have a certain Western tilt, they dress Western or they have affiliation with Western governments. This all began in 2009 when President Obama went to Cairo. He basically rebuffed Mubarak, who was someone that worked with the West, invited in the Muslim Brotherhood. And in his speech, he let it be known that he would be okay with someone like Mubarak, who was too attached to the West, being replaced by Muslim Brotherhood, who he considered more authentic. And after that, Mubarak was deposed, and then later Gaddafi was deposed, who wasn't a good guy, but he was willing to work with the West. We had problems in Tunisia. Then they went to depose Assad. Assad is a Muslim, but he's a secularist. He's a Ba'athist. He's not an Islamist. He's not part of the jihad. And now, of course, they're going after this Malaki. Also not a wonderful fellow, but he dresses Western, and he's not part of the jihad. He's not asking to institute Sharia and make a caliphate. And so this is what we have. This all began unleashing of the jihadists to make the caliphate began in Egypt after President Barack Obama's speech there in 2009. And now the genie's out of the bottle. I don't want us to go back in. It's too late. I don't want us to shed any more American blood for these. And we can't rescue Islam from itself. This is going on for too many years, the war in Kuwait and in Bosnia. We lose a lot of nice American young people, good young people, in trying to save Islam from itself, and we can't do that anymore.
Well, Rabbi Spiro, author of Pushback, Kevin Miller here at 580 KIDO, are you arguing that essentially the president gave them the green light? Look, we got along with Gaddafi, not perfect, but he kept the jabronis in line. They weren't killing the Christians. We certainly, Hosni Mubarak was one of our great allies there, and look what we did to him. When the president went over in Egypt, did he give the radicals the green light that it's time to pillage?
He gave them the green light to try to take over the government. Now, listen, I don't think that he wanted them to pillage, but the Muslim Brotherhood has been wiping out the Coptic Christians, raping the women, killing the men, making the fathers watch their daughters and making the husbands watch their wives being raped, the businesses are being destroyed, the churches are being burned. I don't think President Obama wanted that, but he certainly should have thought of that. When he went to Cairo, and against Mubarak's will, he rebuffed Mubarak. Mubarak did not want the Muslim Brotherhood there because he knows, and he knew, and I better to say, he knew what the intentions of the real Islamist Muslim Brotherhood was. And in Barack Obama's mind, he's an anti-colonialist. He was raised that way, to hate the West, Europe, America. He considers them all colonial powers. And anybody who would work with the West, let's say he would have been against the Shah of Iran, no question. And that's why he was against Mubarak and Gaddafi. These people were willing to work with the West. And Assad is not a religious Muslim. He's a Ba'athist, a secular Muslim. And he felt that these people were more authentic, and they would be the antidote to the colonialists. So where I don't think he wants this ISIS and this ISIL, but he unleashed it, and he certainly should have thought of this beforehand.
Kevin Miller in the morning, Rabbi Spiro with us, push back his new book. Well, let's look at the Sunnis and the Shias, because most of us understand as much about them as we do about Germany and America today in the World Cup.
Well, listen, the Sunnis and the Shias have been fighting for centuries. These are different interpretations of Islam based on the different leadership in Islam. And it's just not for us to get involved in these wars. There's no solution. They don't have a solution, and we certainly don't. And when the Secretary of State, John Kerry, thinks, well, you know, if we can just bring this enough Shia representation and an equal amount of representation to the Sunni and the Kurds, everybody will live fine. It's just such ignorance on his part. He comes to it, John Kerry and all these people, is very secular and thinking that everything can just be solved through some type of mathematical representation. These are religious fights, big-time religious fights, and it's a different religion than ours. It's not like Islam is not like Judaism or Christianity. The whole notion of compromise, working together, that's much more of a Western Judeo-Christian idea. It just doesn't work that way in Islam. And what happens is we expend treasure and we give advice, and our young boys and young girls, well, they're not so young, but, you know, to me they are, they're killed. And then we end up being shafted all the time. The very people that we thought we were helping turn against us. And we've had this in Afghanistan and Iraq. And we just don't belong there anymore.
And yet we're there because of the oil, because of everything else. Rabbi Spiro, why are they killing the Christians? We talk about that a lot at 580KIDO. And why is the press not reporting the Jews and the Christians being killed over there?
The Muslims, they hate the Christians. The Christians to them are infidels. Now, I don't know about Muslims here in America. Hopefully they don't retain the hate that was in them back from the old country. But in the old country, in the Middle East, or wherever Islam has taken over outside of the West, they're raised to hate Christians, to hate Jews. We're called infidels. And in their mind, all infidels, Jews and Christians and Hindus and have to submit to Islam. And if they're not willingly going to submit to Islam and convert, then they'll use the sword to kill them. They're trained this way by the imams and by the ideology. Hopefully, when they come to the West, many of them change this attitude. I don't know. It can't be complete change because people don't change that quickly. And so that's why they're killing them. Now, very good question. Why is the press not reporting this? If the press would report this, they know that the West would have to get up and fight back. They don't want to fight back. Number one, they're afraid. Number two, the press has a liberal ideology that says everybody's the same. Everybody wants the same. We're all the same. That's what liberal ideology is. And so it's really nobody's fault. And if anybody does something wrong among a minority, well, they were forced to do it. So it works against the whole mantra of the liberal press, because if you show the world what Islam is doing to the Christians, They did it to the Jews already. I mean, they exiled 900,000 Jews from Muslim countries. The Muslims did this in the 50s. Well, then the whole mantra of liberalism goes down because, no, these folks are a little different in their ideology than us. Their ideology is quite different. And I think, finally, the reason that they don't let us know what's happening is because if the world did know, they would have to put in place leaders that are more pro-Christian, nationalistic, patriotic, to fight this. Well, the press doesn't want that. They want the leadership to be the Obamas, the Kerrys, the Clintons, the socialist types, the transnational types. And so they keep us ignorant.
Well, that they do. Rabbi, let's talk a little bit about America and our culture. It seems like we're all in the gutter. And even if we talk about it on talk radio, oh, you're being negative. Get back to the latest Brad Pitt movie. I mean, the culture in America is getting away from our Judeo-Christian values.
Well, that's why I wrote the book. But when we talk about Judeo-Christian values, I'm not talking about people going to church or synagogue twice a week. It does include, of course, some of the what are called social issues, abortion, marriage between men. That is something that the Judeo-Christian ethos speaks about, and marriage is supposed to be between a man and a woman only. Anything beyond that is just a partnership or an arrangement. And we have to have reverence for life. And there are certain circumstances where I guess abortion is called for, in only very limited certain circumstances. But outside of that, we have to have reverence for the life in the womb. You just have to. But the Judeo-Christian ethos is beyond these social slash religious issues. It's an outlook on life unique to the Old and New Testaments, the combination of the perspective in the Old and New Testaments. So, for example, the idea of personal responsibility, accountability for your actions, and free markets, fighting evil, knowing the difference between right and wrong as opposed to moral relativism, where everything is right. This is the Judeo-Christian outlook, and this is what built this country.
Right, but then again, you have that attacked, Rabbi Spiro. What about the gays? If you're not down with the gays, you're anti-gay, then you might as well be on the road to Sheboygan.
Well, yes, Sheboygan, Michigan. The a person has to have enough confidence in themselves knowing that, listen, I'm not anti-gay. I would never discriminate against them. If a person came and wanted a job and they were good, they had the merit, they should have the job. But I am against redefining marriage. Marriage is marriage. It has nothing to do with gay, not gay. Marriage means a man and a woman. And that doesn't make you anti-gay because you want to be loyal to a definition. Red is red, green is green. Bread is not cake, cake is not bread, and marriage is not a partnership. It's a holy union. And it's holy because it's between a man and a woman, and it emanates from a biblical perspective. So if someone calls us anti-gay, we just have to have enough confidence not to feel tainted by it. We lack confidence, Kevin. And there's so many things we allow the left to define us. They call us a name, and we're so afraid, but we have to have the confidence to say, I can't be worried about the name that you're going to call me. Because in order to win politically, and this is what political correctness is all about, it's a strategy, they'll call you Islamophobic, homophobic, misogynist, racist, whatever, anti-speciesist, all this name-calling, which is just political correctness, is a strategy to shut us up. Well, we can't be shut up, because the fight is too important. If we're not heard, then the country is just going to slide into this socialism, Marxism, Sharia law, who knows.
Rabbi Spiro with us here at 580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. But, you know, here's the thing, Rabbi Spiro, and hang on for a minute, because I want to talk to you more about this. You know, where is the standard in this country? Where is the standards? You know, we talk about the gay people, then you got the bisexual people, you got the polygamists, you got the transgendered. What can we do to stop this erosion of our values? Whew, that's a heavy toll before 7:30. Kevin, and we're going to get to roundabouts as well. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Want to listen on your smartphone? Download the Radio Puff app today. Set an alarm and never miss a second of Kevin Miller. The Radio Puff on your phone and on 580 KITO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KITO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Back to Rabbi Spiro as we take a look at life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, you talked about moral relativism, and this goes back, Rabbi Spiro, well before 580 KIDO, the land of Socrates, when he was battling the Sophists, where we had moral absolutes versus whatever goes there, brother and sister. But you've got men that want to be women, women that want to be men. This isn't fiction. This is fact. Plus, you've got people in Utah and Nevada that have television shows pumping up the factor that they're breaking the law by one man marrying a bunch of women. So how do we bring this back? Because everybody's afraid to be judgmental.
Well, that's one of the reasons I wrote Pushback, is to give people the confidence that if we are living our lives and our attitudes are shaped by this historic and wonderful Judeo-Christian ethos, we should have the confidence to express these things. Standards of society are decided by the people, unless, of course, you have judges that overrule the will of the people. And this is a very, this is worrisome. It's dreadful, where the people do actually, in referendums, vote the right way. They define marriage the right way. And then inevitably, in every state, even recently, I think Utah, Nevada, perhaps, the judges just overrule it and call it unconstitutional, which is not true, because all of these referendums are drafted in such a way to be able to be in line with constitutional thinking, but the particular judge has an agenda. But generally, we make the standards on a local level at our school boards and at zoning, and we've got to talk to our people on the county level, not just our representatives to U.S. Congress. And we've got to have the confidence. What has been successful on the left for the last 60 years, I call it the New York Times crowd, is they've been able to shame us, make us feel guilty as if we're all mean-spirited rednecks, and that all of our opinions are either racist or misogynist or homophobic or Islamophobic, and then we become confused. We lose our confidence. You can't. It's your society. It's the society that your children and grandchildren are going to inherit. And you've got to fight. That doesn't mean we're going to win all these fights, because, you know, Kevin, the slide to debauchery, this is age-old. It happened in Greece and Rome. It happens in all societies. We have the best shot, though, because we have freedom of speech and we have a Judeo-Christian ethos of trying to stop it, although these judges do work against us.
Well, and I go back to this. You know, I'm reading a Facebook post from a friend of mine. Indiana's same-sex marriage ban was tossed yesterday and the state didn't sink into the ground. And you're going, well, you know, morally, where are we going? I had somebody the other day, not making this up, he's a guy. And he goes, well, I'm getting ready to be a woman. Now, in the old days, you go, what the hell are you thinking? Today I go, well, doesn't that cost a lot of money?
Well, it'll probably be paid for by Obamacare. You know, Obamacare, where they're going to have death panels and not allow real legitimate operations or remedies for older people, because they'll say, hey, listen, you're old, you had your time, it's a drain on the system, so what, you have a heart problem, too expensive. So what, you have this cancer situation, too expensive. But they seem to be open, Obamacare, to things like all these transgender changes and abortion, pills, and for that there's money. Because, you know, behind Obamacare is an agenda. It's not to supply medicine, it's to change society by funding those things that express its view. They'll fund transgender operations and they'll fund abortion pills, but they won't necessarily fund a heart remedy for someone who's 80. And that's the problem with Obamacare and all of these government programs. There's an agenda there, which is to change society in that direction. And a lot of it is very perverted stuff. It's sad, but it's no excuse not to be part of the fight, we can't ghettoize ourselves and say, well, listen, the deck is stacked against us. We just might as well tend our own garden and that's it. Can't do that.
Rabbi Spiro, we appreciate it. And good luck to you. Good luck to you with your book. And thank you for standing up for morality. Your book, Pushback, we highly recommend it. You can keep your powder dry.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, there we go. Rabbi Spiro talking about the return to morality. Coming up next, the latest in Iraq, number one. Number two, what about the roundabouts? We're hearing about roundabouts, roundabouts, roundabouts. Mrs. Miller very upset about the proposed roundabout in Eagle. By the way, it's interesting that the roundabout in Eagle is not getting covered, but the one in Northwest Boise is. Roundabouts. What a great place that we live in that the big topic is roundabouts. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Game day.
Heiße Schokolade mit Schlag. Wann zum Frühstück?
Team USA set to play Germany today.
Oh, I see nothing. I was not here. I did not even get up this morning.
Kevin Miller on 580KIDO.
Schmetterling.
Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, counting down to the World Cup. Action today, America versus Germany. Emily Wither, Fox News Radio. Emily, you got a dog in this fight?
It's quite a complicated one for me, actually, because I am a U.S. citizen, but I spent a lot more time living in Germany than I have in America. So I'm really not sure who I'm rooting for. I guess you're going to tell me the U.S., right?
No, I'm really not into the soccer. You know, in America, we love the big football, the real football.
Well, I have to point out, though, Kevin, you know the rest of the world thinks football is something else, right?
I'm with you, but you know, in America, we it's all about us. Anyway, great to start with a laugh here at 580KIDO. It's not looking good for Iraq. It is looking good for the insurgents.
Yes, yeah, so what we're about to talk about is definitely not a laughing matter. These insurgents are continuing to sweep across the country. Today they have set their sights on Christian villages in the north of the country. So there are reports of thousands of Christians fleeing to the semi-autonomous Kurdistan region where it's relatively safe for them. So they're trying to get in there. The militants are also, very concerningly, trying to take a major military airbase north of Baghdad. Now, I'm not sure if any of these militants know how to fly a plane, but there are thousands of them. So if they were able to take this military airbase, there's the potential that they have power from the air, which I would hate to think what that would follow with. So the militants are continuing to do well, and also what we're seeing at the moment is a lot of tension along the borders. We've heard that Syria has struck Iraq. They were targeting militants, Sunni militant hideouts. And what's happening really is a kind of Shiite alliance that is rising up here with the Shiite leader Nouri al-Maliki in Baghdad, Shiite Iran, which is helping out, and now President Assad, who belongs to the Alawite sect, which is an offshoot of Shiite Islam, is also getting involved too with carrying out their own airstrikes. One of the reasons that the Assad regime would have done this is because they're particularly concerned about the militants who now have all this fancy new advanced weaponry, moving it back into their country where they are fighting to topple the Assad regime.
Emily Wither with us, Kevin Miller, 580KIDO, and yet we still have, these cities that are being taken, the insurgents moving on, and we see people in the streets from the opposite direction. How much longer before it escalates even more? Can it escalate more?
The problem in terms of escalation is it's dragging in other countries in the region. And this is something that Secretary of State John Kerry is particularly concerned about. He's urging restraint from all neighboring countries and countries in the region when it comes to the fight in Iraq, saying it's up to the Iraqis to decide what happens. But, I mean, this is the new Middle East, where within the same week you have Israel bombing Syria and Syria bombing targets in Iraq. And so while this Shiite alliance is emerging in Iraq, you also have other countries like Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Turkey. They have all stepped up their surveillance flights along their borders to watch what's happening. And it doesn't take much to spark things here. So an accidental crossfire killing, a bomb in the wrong place. I mean, these all have the potential to really disrupt the region. And just yesterday in Lebanon, for example, the government there are very concerned about sleeper cells of this ISIS militant group. And there was a bombing in a hotel right in the center of Beirut yesterday. And the Lebanese government say that they are Saudi nationals who were behind this suicide bombing. They were planning something pretty major, but the authorities were able to disrupt it, which is why this suicide bomber detonated in the hotel. And they believe it's possible that these guys were from the militant group ISIS. So it just shows that this group have set their sights on countries much wider than Syria and Iraq. They're also possibly moving into Lebanon, and the Jordanians are very concerned as well that the ISIS militants will march into their country next. They now control the only border crossing between Jordan and Iraq, so the Jordanians are beefing up their security along the border there too.
Is the only folks counter to ISIS Iran?
No, I wouldn't say that, because many countries obviously don't support ISIS. This is a very brutal and horrible militant group. But unfortunately, what ISIS has managed to do by sweeping into Iraq is stir up those sectarian tensions, those familiar fault lines that don't take much to be disrupted. So while none of these countries support ISIS in the sense, you know, not publicly, we know there are people within Saudi Arabia who are likely funneling money to this militant group, but, you know, no one supports ISIS in that sense. There is this, again, the Sunni-Shiite tensions rising out of this because of the divide in Syria, the divide in Iraq, and then, of course, that spills over into other countries in the region, particularly Lebanon, too, where Sunnis and Shiites in that country are being forced to pick sides. They have to decide, do they support the moderate rebels or some of these other Sunni militant groups, or do they support the Shiites who are fighting against President Assad, alongside President Assad and the Shiite Lebanese group Hezbollah. So it's whipping up the same sectarian tensions in that country as well.
Emily, we appreciate it. Do you have a great day, ma'am?
Thank you, and enjoy the soccer if you decide to watch it.
Now wait a minute. Now you didn't pick a team.
Oh, I'm going to say America, because obviously I'm talking to Americans, and you know, I don't want to fall out with any of you, so I'll be cheering for America.
Thank you, Emily. Take care.
Thanks.
All right, our friend Emily Wither joining us here, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, and an interesting take here on soccer from Ann Coulter. We're talking about America's favorite pastime, hating soccer. Let's just take a listen to this. Individual achievement is not a big factor in soccer. In a real sport, players fumble passes, throw bricks, and drop fly balls, all in front of a crowd. When a baseball player strikes out, they're standing alone at the plate, but there's also individual glory in home runs, touchdowns, and slam dunks. In soccer, the blame is dispersed and almost no one scores anyway. There are no heroes, no losers, no accountability, and no child's fragile self-esteem is bruised. There's a reason perpetually alarmed women are called soccer moms and not football moms. Do they even have MVPs in soccer? Everyone just runs up and down the field, and every once in a while, a ball accidentally goes in. That's when we're supposed to go wild. I'm already asleep. Liberal moms like soccer because it's a sport in which athletic talent find so little expression that girls can play with boys. No serious sport is co-ed at the kindergarten level. Even at the kindergarten level. No other sport ends in so many scoreless ties as soccer. There was an actual marquee signed by the freeway in Long Beach, California, about a World Cup game last week. Second period, 11 minutes, score 0-0. 2 hours later, another World Cup game was on the same screen. First period, 8 minutes, 0-0. If Michael Jackson had treated his chronic insomnia with a tape of Argentina versus Brazil instead of propofol, he'd still be alive today, although bored. Even in football, by which I mean football, there are few scoreless ties, and it's a lot harder to score when a half a dozen 300-pound bruisers are trying to crush you. The prospect of either personal humiliation or major injury is required to count as a sport. Most sports are sublimated warfare, as Lady Thatcher reported, said after Germany had beaten England in some major soccer game. Don't worry, after all, twice this century, we beat them at their national game. Baseball and basketball present a constant threat of personal disgrace. In hockey, there are three or four fights a game, and it's not a stroll on the beach to be on the ice with a puck flying around at 100 miles an hour. After a football game, ambulances carry off the wounded. After a soccer game, every player gets a ribbon and a juice box. Much, much more. Your thoughts on the World Cup today. Your thoughts on this article, America's favorite national pastime, hating soccer. Once again, you take a look at this, as Rabbi Spiro said, Emily Wither, I mean, it's being fed to us. Are you consuming the soccer food, the soccer Kool-Aid? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safely.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. If you want the complete America's favorite national pastime, hating soccer, to smack down all these soccer lovers at work today, you can go to my Facebook, Kevin Miller, and check that out. I've got the complete link. By the way, I love the Today Show, how they're just pandering and making this one big patriotic movement today. They just pander to the audience. I guess maybe that's what we should be doing. Hey, soccer is great. Soccer is fun. Soccer is exciting. Now, it's all about roundabouts here. Yeah, the roundabouts are coming.
A Hillside Junior High, and as you said, we are at 36th and Catalpa and Hill. It's unique. It's a unique intersection. It's one of the few five-way intersections in the area, and so the Ada County Highway District and the City of Boise believed we needed a unique way to handle the traffic here, a roundabout, and specifically a dog bone roundabout. You see it right there. ACHD says the safety record here is already pretty good, but can...
A dog bone roundabout. What is that about? Plus, nobody's reporting about the controversial, and thank you, Rome, for commenting about that in Eagle. Everyone in Eagle hates the new roundabout there by Old State Street. And yet, the city council wants to go forward with it. Big mistake. I love how we pass everything off to ACHD as if they're the unelected czars of road construction. Is it not your road? Then stop the roundabouts. To Ronnie in Caldwell at 580KIDO.
I know, man. You know, the thing that sucks just about as much as soccer is the HDA, HD or whatever. Those guys that do the roads, they don't even know how to make a road right. But anyways, dude, here's the thing, man. Soccer, I played it when I was a little kid because I was forced to do it, man. And by the time I was like 7, I was as good as Pele, dude. It's the easiest sport I've ever played in my life, man. And you pretty much could be like totally lame and be good at it. And there's nothing... Millie, you can't call it a sport, dude, if you can tie and walk away and be buddies. I mean, that's not even being a man. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, look, the soccer bunnies will come after you, come after me, but I think it's all force-feeding us propaganda. It's all about globalism. We need to embrace the domestic sport, football.
I mean, dude. And what about people? Dude, if you bit me between the legs in a game, first of all, I'd beat you up. And then secondly, I would think you had totally got the gay from doing that. I mean, that is not what men do. You don't bite each other in the crotch. I think we ought to ban it, dude. I think we ought to totally boycott this.
Who's biting somebody in the crotch?
Who?
Who?
I don't know what you just said. What did you say?
You just said you bit somebody in the crotch.
No, I'm saying, dude, if I was playing a sport with somebody...
Why would you even say that?
I think because you were talking about it is what it stuck in my mind.
You were talking about getting the gay.
No, that's what I'm saying, dude. I think a lot of these soccer guys got the gay. I think they are gay. Don't you think?
I'm not going there.
I mean, I think so, dude. Most of them...
I got to tell you, the soccer guys get all the chicks.
I know, but most of them look like Enrique Iglesias, dude, and he's gay, too. So
that's the new look.
I don't know, man. When I go to Supercuts, dude, I don't ask him to do the, you know, that's what I should do next time. When I sit down and that hot chick at Supercuts wants to cut my hair, I'll be like, man, why don't you give me the totally gay.
That just wasn't going anywhere. Good morning, Dave. You know, when we start going to Ronnie's particular at Supercuts, we have to go. 61 right now in Napa. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Good morning. Serving M.